श्री भक्ति श्री गुरु कृष्ण की जय सामे कृष्ण की जय पूरा Can you hand me my bag in here that's right next to you on that side? Thank you. Now, all this is the diet of Krishna says, try it to you. Shrimati Bhakti Vidana Swami Namani, Namaste, Sarasate, Veve, Gaur, Vari, 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 So I'm going to discuss for the next few days. Discuss the Shishastika prayers of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Eight prayers of instruction, Shishastika. Eight prayers of instructions about the chanting of the Hare Krishna mantra. I have a handout that I have prepared so everybody will have the Shishastika prayers. This translation I've taken from the last chapter of the Chaitanya Charitamrita. That chapter is called the Shishastika Prayers. And so here Prabhupada gives a word-for-word translation and a running translation of the prayers, which I like better than the ones that we used to chant. say a lot. Heard around the movement. You'll also notice that these eight prayers are here from the Chaitanya Charitamrita. And then on the fourth page, I have taken information from what I'm going. A lot of what I'm going to say is going to be based on this book. This is a commentary on the Shishastika written by Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur in 1886. He wrote this commentary, the Sri Samodaya Bhasham. He wrote it in Sanskrit. This is a translation by Sarvabhavana Das, although I have to say it's a English translation of a Hindi translation of the Sanskrit. So I'm hoping if I could get the Sanskrit original, I would have it retranslated from the Sanskrit. But right now we have to do with what we have to do with. And this also has additional purports by Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Goswami. So from one of his part of his purports, I've compiled this little chart where he summarizes the eight Shishastika prayers. As to what they teach, what part of devotional service they belong to, whether it's sadhana, bhava, or prema bhakti. So that's summarized here on this sheet. And I've got a few more additional relevant verses that will come up in the course of our discussion. It's a really loud fountain, isn't it? To talk over. One reason I want to talk about these prayers is, although all my devotional life I've been aware of the Shishastika prayers, and at various places I've been, we've chanted them every morning, and I don't think I ever really appreciated them very much until last year, just at this time, because last year I was, by Krishna's grace, able to perform a Kartika Vrata at Govardhan Hill. Somehow or other, the time was available and the place was available. You may know that we have just off Govardhan Hill, just off the Purkama path, just south of the village of Govardhan, ISKCON has a place called the Bhaktivedanta Sadhana Ashram, which was built sometime in the 1860s by the Maharaj of Chhatarpur, a Vaishnava king from one of the tiny princely states, who built this. The devotees call it a palace, but what it is, it's a kind of a mini fortress. It's exactly square, you know, square walls going all the way around. It's exactly 108 feet square by 108 feet. Originally, there were no windows on the outside. Now we have windows on the outside. When the devotees got it, it was a ruin. I saw it in its ruined condition. But with the help of a number of people like Giriraj Maharaj, Tamal Krishna Goswami, it has been lovingly restored using old methods. They tracked down the old ways of making plaster and stuff like that, but with modern plumbing and a few other things. And we've made it into an ashram, but it's actually a little fortress. And there's a big courtyard where the soldiers and the horses used to stay, and over the back gate was the main entranceway, really, was the King's Darshan Hall, where now we have the deities. And the front courtyard, there's a large one for the Maharaj, a small one for the Maharani. There's battlements and watchtowers in the four corners. And in the middle, a higher tower. And you go up that higher tower. It's just three stories, I think, four stories. On the top of that tower, there's a little room. There's a kind of a patio, and you go and step down this little bitty room, and you sit down this little darshan room about this wide, and twice as deep. And there's a window like this, and you look right out on Govardhan Hill. It's actually for darshan of Govardhan Hill. And so the devotees stay there now. So I got to stay there for Kartika, and I took the vrata, chanting 64 rounds a day in this place. It was the first time I've ever chanted a vrata like that. And when I started doing it, it was a perfect place. I mean, it was just right off Govardhan Hill, and nice devotees. Keshava Bharati stays there. Very, very nice devotees. Vrata meant I took Khichdi once a day and chanted 64 rounds. I usually got up about 2:30, chanted 16 rounds before Mangalarti, went to Mangalarti. The deities there are a dark and a light Govardhan Shila, Krishna Balaram. Then after Mangalarti, I went on the roof of this tower and faced Govardhan Hill and chanted another 16 rounds. While the sun came up behind me and Govardhan Hill came out of the darkness, all nice and pink from the morning light. Then about 9 o'clock, I went up into that little tower and sat there and chanted 32 rounds looking at Govardhan Hill. That was what I did. One of the things that happened was I discovered the Shishastika prayers. I was really quite intensely trying to chant the holy name of the Lord and to be attentive and carry out this vrata nicely. So I happened to find this book, the Shishastika book, with the purport by Bhaktivinoda Thakur, and I got into it, and I discovered that I discovered a great deal about these Shishastika prayers that I hadn't really realized before. And I think what I, the Shishastika prayers, really, they do, they tell us how to chant the holy name of the Lord. And by learning and studying the Shishastika prayers, one learns the Shishastika prayers creates the mentality for chanting the Hare Krishna mantra. It creates the whole mental atmosphere for chanting. And so I began, first of all, studying the Shishastika prayers, and then, of course, chanting them several times a day during the vrata, you know, between every set of 16 rounds, I would chant the Shishastika prayers. And if you have your mind kind of steeped in the Shishastika prayers, what happens while you're chanting, if you happen to, is that at various times, various words or phrases or verses would come to mind. So if your mind went off into from the holy name into the Shishastika prayers, it would come back round again. It wasn't inattentive at all. Then I discovered in this book, the Bhajana Rahasya, Bhaktivinoda Thakur does this very interesting thing in the very beginning. He associates, there's eight Shishastika prayers, and he points out that in the holy name of the Lord, there's eight pairs of names. And he says the first pair indicate the first of the Shishastika prayers. The second pair, so Hare Krishna signifies the subduer of ignorance and the performance of non-sankirtan with faith. That means the first of the prayers. The second pair, Hare Krishna, means that Krishna's names are invested with all potency. That's the second of the Shishastika prayers. Third pair indicates the company of pure devotees and becoming fixed in firm faith throughout the day and night. Kirtaniya Sadahari, that he means. That's the third. So in other words, each pair of names indicates one of the Shishastika prayers all the way down. So then I started to try to learn the Shishastika prayers so well that actually by I could make chanting each pair of names identical with meditating on a Shishastika prayer. It's possible to do this. Now this book goes even further because he then is also at the end of each of these discussions of one of the Shishastika prayers, he associates each pair of names with one of the eight Astakaliya Leelas, which well, I haven't gone that far yet, but anyway. Because Krishna and Krishna's name are the same. Krishna and Krishna's name and his pastimes are the same. Krishna and Krishna's name and his instructions are the same. So there's a level of non-duality here. So I think that this, and so as I begin to chant the holy name and in the what I can describe as the mental climate of the Shishastika prayers, I began to appreciate these prayers far more than I ever had. The meter for the prayers changes. So they're hard to chant, you know, because one is this meter and the other is that meter and so on. I don't think I ever really got into them that much before, but now I could really appreciate them. And the other bit side benefit of that is once I began to realize what was actually in the Shishastika prayers, I really discovered my love for Lord Chaitanya increasing because I realized that no mere human being could have written these prayers. So they're really, really worth getting into. So I thought what I'd do this weekend, we're supposed to have a class two times tomorrow and two times on Sunday, is go through as much as I can of this and discuss the Shishastika prayer. So the first thing I'd like to do is just have us go through and say the Sanskrit together. If we can do that. Do you have everybody have one of these little sheets now? And then, I don't know, most of us maybe already know this, maybe not all of us do, but anyway, let's try to say it in unison, okay? Chitu dharpanam arjanam bhavamahata bhagnir bhavanam sreyakairava chandrika vitaranam ityavadhu jivanam anandam buddhi vardhanam pratipadam purnam mittasvadhanam sarvatma sapanam param vijayate sri krishna sankirtanam Nam nam makari pahuta bhijya sarva shaktis tatsarita niyam tatsmarane nakalaha itadrishita vipa bhagavan namami durdaiva nirdisha vihajan namurada sinasyati sunichena sarodiva sahishnuna manina mananina Kirtahi asadahari Nadanam najanam sundarim Kavitam bhajagadishakamaye Mamma janmane janmarishware Bhavata bhakti araitu kitvai Ayi nanda tanuja kinkaram Patitam mam vishyame bhavam putau Kripayata vapadatam praja Sikhtaduli sadrisham vichintaya Nayanam jaladastru dharaya varanam vajjada rujjaya gira purataya vichitam vakkukata kavanam rahane vadishyati jayitam nishena chakshusha pavishayitam shunyayitam jagat sarvam govinda jirahe name asvishya vaparagatam dinashtumam Adalishanam marma hatam varokruva Yatakata vajatakalam pato Matranatas tu sahivanaparaha So one thing that I discovered, one reason I have this word for word and everything, because if we want to learn these prayers, it doesn't really quite do to sort of have the Sanskrit memorized and have the English memorized and not be able to go back and forth. So we should look at this first of all. If we start with the first one, we should look at this and try to understand the first one in detail. According to Bhaktivinoda Thakur, this describes seven benedictions that come from chanting, from Sanskrit. The way they divide it up is that the first one is Cheta Darpana Marjanam, cleansing the mirror of the heart. Cheta Darpana Marjanam. You notice how the structure of this Cheta Darpana Marjanam, Bhava Maha Devagni Nirvapanam, see how they each end with an M? All these phrases are modifying the last word, Sankirtanam. In other words, if you want to translate this, you have to start from the end. Vijayate Sri Krishna Sankirtanam. Let there be victory to Sri Krishna Sankirtanam. What is that Sri Krishna Sankirtanam? Well, this is what it is. Cheto Dharapana Marjanam. It is that which cleanses the mirror of the mind. Bhava Maha Davagni Nirvapanam, that which extinguishes the blazing fire of material existence. Shreya Kairiva Chandika Vitaranam, It is that which is like the light of the full moon, which causes the night blooming white lotus of good fortune to open. This is a very poetic story here. Vidyavadu Jivanam, it is like the husband or the bridegroom who enlivens the bride of transcendental knowledge. Anandamudi Vardhanam, it is that which increases the ocean of transcendental bliss. Pratipadam Gurnam Vitashvadhanam, and giving us at every step a taste of the full nectar. Sarvatma Snapanam, it is the total purifying bath of the self for everybody. Param Vijayate Sri Krishna Sang, therefore let there be all victory. So actually what you do before you act, first of all you get all the description of the benedictions, and at the end you find out it's this Sankirtanam that does all these things. So there's seven. Seven here. So the way to learn this is to actually try to understand by looking at the word for word and a little bit of the Sanskrit structure, so that when you can actually say the Sanskrit, you know what you're saying. Cheto darpana marjanam bhava mahadavagni nirvapanam. So the very thing in, there's a description in this book of these different, these are the benedictions. By the way, in this Bhajana Rahasya book, Bhaktivinoda Thakur also says that the prayers are associated with different stages in advancement of devotion. There's that description of the steps, the sequence of steps leading up to prema. Adoshrada, I've included that verse here. First of all, there is beginning with Shraddha. One has some faith in the process of Krishna consciousness, some preliminary kind of faith, and then associates with devotees, sadhu sangha. From that association, Bhajana Kriya, one will take up seriously and commit oneself to the practice of devotional service. Then from that there will be the disappearance of the dirty things in the heart and artha-nirvritti. When the heart is pretty much clean, then one will actually become fixed, or as Prabhupada says, fixed up, in the process of devotional service, and actually develop a taste for the activities of devotional service, a real taste. After that taste develops, then one will become actually addicted to Krishna, asa. Then the symptoms of ecstasy will appear, the preliminary stage of love of God, and then finally, prema. This is the sequence of stages of development leading up to prema. So, this first verse, Bhaktivinoda Thakur says, is about Shraddha, primarily about Shraddha. In other words, one should be convinced that Sankirtan will bring about these benedictions. One thing I understood about the Shishastika prayers is that each one of them is a request for a benediction. Sometimes devotees think that when we pray, we shouldn't ask for anything. This is false. In fact, just the opposite is the truth. Prabhupada quotes in the fifth canto, he quotes Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur as saying, whenever there is a prayer, there is a request for a benediction. So for example, Prabhupada has told us what the meaning of the Hare Krishna mantra is. It's a request for a benediction. Please engage me in your service. So we should always ask for the benediction. We don't should not ask for a material benediction, because then we're asking for a curse. We should ask for the real benediction, which is Krishna consciousness. So this one, let there be victory. That's the request for a benediction. Let Sankirtan be victorious. And therefore, when the Sankirtan is victorious, then these things will happen. One, Cheto Darpanam Arjunam. The soul, which is covered in ignorance now, the ignorance will be cleansed away. The soul is actually part and parcel of Krishna, eternal servant of Krishna, but somehow or other we have become in darkness, covered by our consciousness, covered by garbage. So the first thing is that this consciousness will be cleansed of all these extraneous things, just like cleaning a mirror. When the heart's cleansed, then you can begin to see who God is, who I am, what the material world is, the material energy, see what is time, what is karma. These principles all become known. This is called sambandha, jnana, knowledge of relationships. Myself, the Supreme Lord, other living entities, the material energy. Then, material existence, which is like a blazing fire. Bhava means material existence. Maha, Dabhati, a big forest fire. It puts it out. So then if you think that now the forest fire is put out, now I don't have to work down, I don't have to chant anymore. No, there's the next thing. it will now go on. After material existence is finished, then your real life begins. And this is indicated by the Shreya Kairava Chandrika Vitaranam. Let's look at these words. Shreya Kairava Chandrika Vitaranam. Chandrika means moonlight. See, there's usually lotuses blossom in the day, but there's a special lotus, the Kairava, which is a white lotus and which is night blooming. So under the rays of the moon, it opens up. And this lotus is Shreya. Shreya means ultimate good fortune. Not short-term benefit, but the long-term benefit. So it is like the moonlight, which Sankirtan is like the moonlight, which causes this white lily of good fortune to open up, and the fragrance spreads throughout the forest at night, and all your good fortune then develops. Bhaktivinoda Thakur says that this means one loses one's taste for material benediction, material happiness. As a result of this spreading of the white lotus of good fortune, this opens up. Then, Vidyavadu Jivanam is very poetic. See, usually the way this is, it is the life and soul of all of education. But the word vadu means a woman, or specifically a bride. So, Vidya, which is the internal potency of the Lord, is a woman. And so gives life or enlivens the bride who is transcendental knowledge. So the transcendental knowledge is like the bride or the wife who fixes the mind on the lotus feet of Krishna. Bhaktivinoda Thakur says, He says, so he says this Vidyavandhu is Swarup Shakti, or the internal potency, who gives spiritual knowledge. So this is the this Sankirtan, like enlivens or arouses the Vidya Devi, transcendental knowledge. Anandam Divardhanam. The Bhaktivinoda Thakur has put these two together. Anandam Buddhi Bhardhanam Pratipadam Purnam Natasvadanam. He discusses these together. Although the jiva is tiny, his bliss is not. His bliss is ever increasing ocean. Ambuddhi means an ocean of bliss. Anandam Ambuddhi Vardhanam. It increases the ocean of transcendental bliss. Prabhupada says, you'll be surprised to hear that the ocean of transcendental bliss is always increasing. He says, he points out, the material ocean remains the same, but the ocean of transcendental bliss is always increasing. So the jiva is minute, but his spiritual happiness is not. Rather, it is always increasing. And that then one begins to relish unlimited nectar, pratipadam, at every step, every stage of the transcendental relation. So this indicates that the ongoing dynamic spiritual relation that one has with the Lord. Sarvatma snapanam. Snapana means a bath. Atma snapanam, a bath of the self, the soul. Sarva, for everyone. So it's the Bhaktivinoda Thakur says this indicates that this is the bath means something that's completely purifying. In other words, in the chanting of the holy name, there's no impurities. Complete cleansing, total cleansing. There's no selfish desire. There's no any tinge of selfish lust or selfishness in this thing, in this chanting of the holy name. So then, Param, just as supreme or transcendental. Let there be victory, Sri Krishna Sankirtanam, for the congregational chanting of the holy name. Now, it's interesting to note that this word, Sankirtanam, actually has a couple of meanings. I picked this up from the note of Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati, that he says Sankirtanam means complete chanting. So I looked up the word, the prefix, Sam or San in the Sanskrit dictionary. And it actually has two meanings. One is with or together with, along with. It expresses conjunction or union. So the meaning, usual meaning of Sankirtan is when devotees get together and chant. That's part of the meaning. It's not only Sankirtan means congregational chanting, is when devotees get together. But in any case, the holy name has to be cultivated in the association of devotees. Also, the second stage is indicated in this verse, also, sadhusanga. Because without the association of devotees, one will not be able to cultivate the holy name. Bhaktivinoda Thakur says, the Lord's holy name, form, qualities, and activities are perfectly glorified in righteous company. He puts it in a nice phrase, perfectly glorified in righteous company. So these two go together, because the other meaning of san expresses thoroughness, intensity, and completeness. For example, if you take the san, san yuj means to join, yuj is join, the san yuj is joined together. But you take the verb san uccheda, uccheda means destroy, but san uccheda means completely destroyed. So the san means, has both these meanings. One is in association with devotees, and or like Sanskrit, huh? It's perfect, done perfectly, done completely. The same. So this means complete chanting, thorough chanting, intense chanting. So that's what Sankirtan is. So this verse teaches us Sankirtan, that the holy name of the Lord, these verses, rather, the whole Shishastika, how to cultivate the holy name of the Lord until actually we are chanting completely or perfectly. So when it is done, when the Sankirtan is there, then all these seven benedictions that are described here will become manifest. So in the beginning, one should at least have this faith in the Sankirtan. And this will help us also, if we follow these Shishastika prayers, we will know how to chant the holy name, so that our chanting will actually be perfect, or complete, or thorough, in such a way that the progression all the way up to prema actually takes place. All these things are there. These verses are Lord Chaitanya's emotions. Please understand, these are Lord Chaitanya's very intense feelings. When they're described at the end of the Chaitanya Charitamrita, it describes Chaitanya Mahaprabhu saying these verses, and it describes a lot of times what you see here is also there's the Sanskrit verse, and then also there's a Bengali translation of the Sanskrit verse, or a Bengali commentary on the verse, and also a description sometimes of Lord Chaitanya's feelings that he has when he translates them. So it begins like this. He would recite, meaning Lord Chaitanya, would recite his own verses, expressing their meanings and emotions, and thus enjoying tasting them with these two friends, as Swarup Dhammana and Ramananda Roy. Sometimes the Lord would be absorbed in a particular emotion and would stay awake all night reciting related verses and relishing their tastes. In great jubilation, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, "My dear Swarup Dhamma and Ramananda Roy, know from me that chanting the holy name is the most feasible means of salvation in this age of Kali. In this age of Kali, the process of worshipping Krishna is to perform sacrifice by chanting the holy name of the Lord. One who does so is certainly very intelligent, and he attains the shelter of the lotus feet of Krishna." And then he quotes the Bhagavatam verse, in the age of Kali, intelligent persons perform congregational chanting to worship the incarnation of Godhead, who constantly sings the name of Krishna. Although his complexion is not black, as she is Krishna himself, he is accompanied by his associate servants, weapons, and confidential companions. And he continues, simply by chanting the holy name of Lord Krishna, one can be freed from all undesirable habits. This is the meaning of awakening all good fortune and initiating the flow of waves of love for Krishna. So you see right away, the first verse is that one can be free from all undesirable habits, this awakening good fortune, and initiating the flow of the wave of love for Krishna, and then Chaito Darpana Marjanam Bhava Mahadavagni Navapanam. He speaks this verse, and then he says, then continues in Bengali, by performing congregational chanting of the Hare Krishna mantra, one can destroy the sinful condition of material existence. Papa samsara nashana. Purify the unclean heart and awaken all varieties of devotional service. The result of chanting is that one awakens his love for Krishna and tastes transcendental bliss. Ultimately, one attains the association of Krishna and engages in his devotional service as if immersing himself in a great ocean of love. This way he also summarizes the meaning of the verse. And then the narration says, lamentation and humility awoke within Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and he began reciting another of his own verses. By hearing the meaning of that verse, one can forget all unhappiness and lamentation. That's the next verse, the Shishastika prayers. So I guess we'll do tomorrow morning. Any comments, questions, discussions? Go ahead, say it again. I don't have it on this chart because Bhakti Siddhanta doesn't do it, but Bhakti Vinod Thakur does it in this book. Yeah, the first Shishastika prayer is Shraddha, and the second one is two things: Sadhu Sangha. Three things. It's Sadhu Sangha and Anartana Vritti. Bhajana Kriya is in there also. The whole thing is Bhajana Kriya in a way. Yeah. So the first two take you through Shraddha, Sadhu Sangha, Bhajana Kriya, and Anartana Vritti. Then the third verse of the Shishastika prayers, it's anartha nivritti, nishtita bhajana. So chinada pisun, kirtaniya sadahari. So if you're chanting always, then it's nishta, huh? Steadiness, because kirtaniya sadahari, that's steadiness. Anartana Vritti has occurred because in the second one, Duradayava Itrisham Nikchasa Ihajani Nanuraga, because of that lamentation, feeling that I regret my offenses, that's the purifying factor of Anartana Vritti. You're removing the anartas. You're doing something about that. We'll discuss that more tomorrow. Anartana Vritti, because of that Durdaiva, I am so unfortunate. Then Srinadapi Sunichina, then this is the way one can chant. So that indicates the attainment of steadiness or nishtha, then nadanam jalana sundarim kavitam, it means now there's ruchi, a taste. But because of that taste now no money, no wealth, no whatever sundarim kavitam means, women or good prose style or whatever. No, sundarim kavitam means beautiful poetry. So this is ruchi. Then ayinam dhatanuja is actually asakti. This is the attachment to Krishna. You're glued to his feet, fixed at his feet. That's Krishna asakti. So then, of course, nayanam galadashu daya, may my eyes be filled with tears. This is, of course, the description of sattvika vikara from Bhava. And then 7 and 8 both indicate different levels of prema. 7, gayitam vimishena, the universe is void, and my eyes are uncontrollable torrents of tears, and so on. This is vipralamba prema, the feeling of separation. And then the final one, he calls, Bhaktivinoda Thakur calls prema sambhoga. Sambhoga means meeting. One is separation, the other is meeting. Just two different types of prema. Yeah, this is in the Bhajana Rahasya, he does it. He doesn't do it in this commentary. He does it in the Bhajana Rahasya. He associates it in that way. This Bhajana Rahasya, just with each verse of the Shishastika prayers, is mainly a collection of verses which deal with the same ideas that are in the Shishastika prayers. Just as Lord Chaitanya recited the Shishastika prayer and then other verses in the same mood. So that's what Bhajana Rahasya does. Okay? Anything else?
In the stage of before one can reach the stage of Nisha, then one must be completely become more enlightened. I can't remember exactly where I read it, but it's there was some indication that Artha was really may continue beyond that stage.
Yeah, all the Narthas are completely gone. In this book, there's a different ways, degrees in which they're just Nishtha, pretty much gone. There's different kinds of the Narthas. He analyzes different kinds of Narthas and the different stages of eradication. So, obviously with Nishtha, you're still not all the way there, so there's still something is some tinges there of an arthas, so it does continue. Yeah, this is the Madhurya Kandamani. I don't mind the wrong copy. My notes in this copy, but let me see if I can. See, there are different kinds of anarthas. There's anarthas from aparad, or offenses. Then there's anarthas that actually arise from bhakti, from devotional service itself. He describes it as the weeds Labdha, Puja, Pratishtha, these weeds from your devotional service, you may get facilities, worship, respect by others, comfortable position, fame, so on. Some good fortune comes as a result of bhakti. You become attached and they can mess you up big time. So he says the eradication of narkas, there's the ones from past sins, from bhakti, from offenses, but he says there's different five greeds of a nullification: limited or partial, pervasive, almost complete, complete, and there's a further stage, absolute. I guess complete, they can be complete, but still maybe it can come back, but when it's absolute, never, and never, no chance, right? So from offenses or aparad, from the beginning, just from Bhajana Kriya, it's partial, and then with Nishta, it's pervasive. With the appearance of Bhava, almost complete. With the appearance of Prema, it's complete. And then he goes beyond that with the attainment of the Lord's association, it's absolute. See, that's an artist. Yeah, Bhava he has for anarthas, he has as almost complete. Yeah. Well, there's still something a little bit there, even in Bhava, and even in Prema, it's complete, but still. There's not absolute until you actually have whatever he calls the attainment of the Lord's association. But from past sins, the eradication is more rapid. The anarthas that are run from past sins. He says with Bhajana Kriya, it's almost complete. With Nishta, it's complete. And with Asakti, absolute. Yeah. That's the past sins. The eradication of anarthas from bhakti, from Bhajana Kriya, it's partial. With Nishta, it's complete. And with Ruchi, it's absolute. So that way, they proceed at different rates. Like that. So the thing that hangs around the longest is aparad. One thing we learn is if we understand how dangerous aparad is for our advancement in spiritual life, one should actually become very, very frightened. So frightened of creating an offense to an devotee. That you just go out of your way. You don't even think whether he's a good guy or a bad guy. You're just going to be respectful. just to make sure we don't create an offense. Because it's quite... It's so dangerous. Huh? Yeah, well, anyway. You may err, but at least you'll err on the side of being forgiving and charitable and tolerant. What's the harm? Okay, anything else? Yeah? Why don't we pass this microphone over? Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, I'll just talk about those a little bit. Yeah. But it's when it says all describe the prince of Abhideya, they're all about the means of advancing in Krishna consciousness. So that's to say they're all Abhideya. But here's, so that's why it's not specially mentioned as a separate stage. But the first five really deal with realizing our relationship more and more fully. Yeah, they're about, you notice how some bandit lines up the sadhana bhakti and prayojana with bhava and prema. Now, when devotional service becomes spontaneous. Natural rather than a practice. Yeah, we'll get to this a little more. Anything else? Yeah. Pass the. That's quite a discussion, isn't it, huh? The main thing about aparad is that one just has to become more and more one has to be really sorry. Bhaktivinoda Thakur says, we'll talk about this again tomorrow, but Bhaktivinoda Thakur says, this is the mood. I think he does this in the purport to the first shloka, but I think he's talking about the second one. He says the third one rather. He does it the purport to the second shloka, but he's talking about the third one. With an anguished heart, full of contrition, he, that is the devotee, should become eager to chant continuously. See, that's a Kirtaniya Sudahari. For this alone will uproot his previous offenses and also protect him from committing further offenses. That's a really good sentence. I'll read it again. With an anguished heart, full of contrition, he should become eager to chant continuously. So these two things, right? An anguished heart full of contrition and eager to chant continuously. For this alone will uproot the previous offenses and preventing from completing further offenses. So that's really what comes out in the second verse. Durdaivam idrisamiha janina anuraga. So we have to really come to that stage. Yeah. And although it's painful, it's good pain. You know, it's actually just like, you know, when you're getting massaged sometimes, somebody the right place, it hurts, but you know it's a healing hurt. So, there's the healing hurts in the mind too, you know. They're actually quite good. Anyway, we'll talk about that. Okay. Thank you very much. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.